Thanks. You can have a seat.
Good morning. Good morning. Check. Yep. All right. Welcome. Beautiful morning here at, what is it, June?
Yeah.
Yes, already. June. Okay. Yeah. All right. for those of you who are new here, we are going through Romans this year. The title is The Gospel of God's Grace.
I'm sorry. What's your name again?
Oh, I'm Jason.
Oh, okay.
I'm Jason number three or four. I'm not sure how many we have here.
We have so many Jasons.
Yeah, there's a lot of Jasons. Today, our message is titled, with apologies to Bob Dylan, you got to serve somebody. We don't condone everything he wrote, but we do feel he got it right with this title. And hopefully, by the time our 4 hours is up, you guys will understand what this title means. And
they're laughing. I think Jay told us we had 4 hours, right?
He did. He did. Yep, I think he did. Yeah, he did.
Obviously, we're kidding. But anyway, we're glad you're here today. And yes, you got to serve somebody. And as we typically do each day, because we've been going through this this book and we'll continue through the end of the year, we do a little bit of review at the beginning of each time, and today is no different for that. And, you know, some of these slides you may have seen multiple times and you're thinking, gee whiz, this is the same thing. But we want to make sure that everybody is clear and remembers where we've come from as we look forward to where we're going. So we know in the book of Romans that Paul is piecing together an argument, not in the sense of he's trying to fight with somebody, but like a lawyer would lay out his case. Paul is building one piece upon another so that when the full picture is given, we understand all the pieces clearly. And one of Paul's goals is he wants us to be truly familiar with the message of the gospel. Not just casually familiar, but truly familiar, and so familiar that we can share the gospel with other people on a clear and complete basis. And one of the things that we've discovered as we've done this that is God's life flows through your veins. We sang about that a minute ago. Jay spoke on it on weeks previous. God's life flows through your veins if you're a believer in Christ. And that is no small thing. That is a very powerful thing. And that power, that life that flows through our veins should change us. And God's goal then is to change us from the inside out, to change us so drastically and profoundly that the only way can be described is to speak it as resurrection from the dead. And again, that's no small thing. That's a wonderful and fantastic thing. Another thing that we have learned here on our passage is we don't have to sin. Curtis mentioned that this morning. We've heard it in the past weeks, and you know, for some of us, that is kind of a mind-blowing concept. It's a little bit of a new thing to us that we're not just programmed to sin. We don't have to sin. It's not an automatic thing. We have a choice. In fact, we learned that we're no longer slaves to the old man. That old man, and we're sure to be sure that the old man we're describing is not the devil. So you can't say the devil made me do it. Anybody remember Flip Wilson? Okay, and his little character, yeah, the devil made me do it. Well, that doesn't really wash for us as believers because the devil can't make us do anything. We're no longer slaves to the old man. We are free. The old man is no longer in charge in our lives. So we don't have to sin if we don't want to. So that right there should be an awesome thing for us to understand. One of the things Jay mentioned a couple of weeks ago, there were two reasons why we may not be feeling the victorious life over sin. And maybe one of those is we didn't know it. Paul said in the first part of Romans 6, maybe you didn't know what Christ has done, where you stand in Him. And so one of the things that helps us live this life victoriously is we have to know that Christ has won. He has defeated sin and death, and we have inherited that power in our lives. He came to free us from the penalty of sin as well as the power of sin. We're no longer slaves. And then the other thing that Jay mentioned was maybe we haven't counted on it. Not only do we know this in our mind, but we live as if it's true. We count on it. Consider yourselves dead to sin, it said last time in the first part of Romans 6. Count on the fact that Christ has won and the old man is no longer in charge. We have a choice. The Spirit of God dwells in us. We can count on that. And then we have a third reason that we will be sharing with you today, but we are not quite there yet. Jason?
All right. Out of respect for God's word, we would ask that we all rise and read today's passage. It's coming from Romans 6, 15 to 23. And as soon as it's up there. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be sins, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I am using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? For those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin, you have become slaves of God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. For those of you who want to keep us honest, our story today is coming from Joshua chapter 24.
Amen. As a way of giving you some background where we are in the story of Israel here, this is obviously past Abraham, past Moses. Moses has died before they entered the Promised Land, and Joshua took over. If you remember that, they crossed the Jordan River at flood stage and walked through on dry ground miraculously. Then on the other side, they came to the city of Jericho. God gave them Jericho. God miraculously provided for them and led the children of Israel. If you remember the stories, you also remember that there were times when Israel followed God and fell away from God and followed God and fell away from God. There was kind of a pattern there with the nation of Israel. But we've come to the part of the story now where it is near the end of Joshua's life. And he knows this, and he's getting ready to address the people one more time to kind of renew that covenant. On his watch, he wants the covenant with God and Israel to be strong. So that's where we pick up our story today in Joshua chapter 24. So Joshua assembled the leaders, the elders, the people of Israel, the judges and officials there at Shechem, and it's there that the people of God, the people of Israel, presented themselves to the Lord. And Joshua began by saying, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, told me. I'm going to relate to you the words of God as he spoke them to me. And he began long ago, your father Abraham and his father Terah lived beyond the river and they worshiped other gods. But God said, I took your father Abraham out through Canaan. I took him out and led him out of there and I gave him many descendants. And you know, he had Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob and Esau." He said Esau was given the hill country around Seir, but Jacob and his sons went down to live in Egypt. And you remember how the Egyptians treated you as slaves and oppressed you. And I sent Moses and Aaron and afflicted the Egyptians. You remember that story of the plagues. And I brought you and your fathers out of Egypt. And the Egyptians pursued as far as the Red Sea. And you remember what I did there. I covered them, the Egyptian army, with the Red Sea. You saw it with your own eyes. Then that time you lived in the desert for a very long time, for many years. And I brought you to the land of the Amorites. They fought against you, but I gave them over to you. I destroyed them, utterly destroyed them before you, and gave you their land. You took their land. You remember Balak, the king of Moab. He sent Balaam to curse you. He said, but I wouldn't listen to him. And he ended up blessing you instead. And time after time, I delivered you from him. Then you came to the Jordan River. And that story where the Jordan River parted and you walked through on dry land. And then you came to the city of Jericho. And you defeated Jericho with my power. In fact, I delivered many nations to you. I delivered the Amorites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, Hivites, all those people I defeated on your behalf. In fact, a hornet I sent before you to drive them out. Remember those two Amorite kings? You didn't even do that with your own sword and bow. God said, I gave you a land that you didn't work for and cities that you didn't build. I gave you vineyards you didn't plant and olive groves you didn't till. Joshua continued, said, so now, since you've heard that from the Lord, fear the Lord. Serve him with all righteousness. Throw away the gods that your forefathers worshipped when they lived beyond the river and they lived in Egypt. And serve the Lord, the God of Israel. But, he said, if serving God seems undesirable to you, then you choose today who you'll serve, whether it's the gods that your forefathers served or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living right now. You choose today. But Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. Amen. That's exactly the response of the people that day. They were very excited to be reminded of these stories. So they very emphatically shouted, yes, we will serve the Lord. We too will serve the Lord because He's our God. They said, we won't forsake the Lord. He brought us out of Egypt, out of slavery. He performed signs. He protected us throughout our journey. Wherever we went, He protected us. So we will serve the Lord because He's our God. And you would have thought Joshua would say, that's what I wanted to hear. That's great. Let's go on. But Joshua pressed the people. He wanted to make sure. He wanted them to be sure. He said, no, you're not able to do it. You're not able to serve the Lord. He's a holy and jealous God. And if you turn your back on Him, He will not forgive your rebellion and your sin. He will utterly destroy you. He will bring an end to you. And disaster. But the people replied again, even more emphatically, no, we will serve the Lord, they said. Joshua said, okay, your witnesses against yourself that you have chosen to serve the Lord. Your witnesses against yourselves. People said, yes, we are witnesses against ourselves. Joshua said, okay, now, here's what we're going to do. He said, throw away those old gods that are among you. You know they are. Throw them away and yield your hearts to the Lord. The Lord God of Israel. Remember that word yield. We'll come back to it later. The people replied, again, we will serve the Lord our God, and we will obey Him. So Joshua made a covenant that day there at Shechem. He drew up decrees and laws, and he recorded them in the book of the law. And he set up a stone there under an oak near the holy place of the Lord. And he said, see this stone here. It is a witness against you. It has heard everything that the Lord God told you if you choose to rebel and disobey the Lord. Then He sent the people away, each to their own tribal inheritance land. He sent them away. And after these things, Joshua, the son of Nun, died at 110 years old. But the nation of Israel followed God and obeyed him and served him throughout the life of Joshua and of the elders that outlived him and all those who experienced everything that the Lord had done through the nation of Israel.
Thank you. Well, we just heard a story. Here at the Potter's House, we feel stories matter tremendously. It's amazing coming here on Sundays, for those of you who may be here for the first time, just the stories that you hear. It's not just a Bible to us. It's a collection of amazing stories of God's Word to us. But in this particular story, we see that Israel, they have a choice to make. And Joshua didn't say, okay, well, when you think about it, or when the time's right, or, you know, when you get this done, you know, then you can decide. No, he said, choose this day who you will serve. Paul and Joshua lay out two courses that one could take in their life. In Romans, Paul tells us that we can either become a slave to sin or a slave to righteousness. In Joshua, he tells the people, well, you can choose the little g gods, and you've seen how that works out, or you can choose the Lord, our God, the God of Israel, and, you know, that might work out better. And both of them say, though, you have to yield. You have to do this. Israel made the choice to serve, probably because they knew the blessings. I mean, if you were an Israelite of that time, I can't fathom. If I were to walk out to Osage River right now and put a staff in the ground and the water split, I'm pretty sure you guys are like, yeah, I'm going to go with that guy. He's probably got it figured out, whatever's going on, or the God with him is definitely the guy. We too have been blessed. This was, in Joshua's day, it was before Jesus. So not only do we have a tremendous blessing of being in America and having all these wonderful things, we have Jesus, which is far greater than any of that. I mean, it's unbelievable. In verse 18, Paul tells us another one of our great blessings, and that is we have been set free from sin. It no longer has its power on us. As Jay often says, don't hear what we're not saying. We're all going to sin. That'll be until we go home. But we have been set free from sin. Sin has no power over us. So Joshua and Paul tell us to throw away our gods. Paul says, be a slave to righteousness. Joshua says, yield from their hearts. They yield from their hearts to do these things, which is kind of interesting because Paul says the exact same thing in Romans. He says, now you have obeyed and claimed allegiance from your heart, this new form of teaching, which I've just butchered up quite a bit, but it's right there. He says, obey from the heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. So they're all in at this point. So we have two options that are at play every minute of every day of our lives. We can either choose to be a slave to sin, or we can choose to be a slave to righteousness. And that's a tremendous opportunity. We're not robots, you know. God gave us the choice to do this stuff. And I hope that the yielding has kicked in. It's definitely time today. Now's the time to choose.
Amen. You know, as we kind of look back at our reasons today for being able to live a victorious life, reminder that we have to know it. We have to know that Christ is one, and we have to count on it. And then we have a third reason today to yield to the Spirit of God. So we can know that Christ is one, the old man is not in charge, and we don't have to sin if we don't want to, and we can count on it. Romans 6:11 said, consider yourselves dead to sin but alive to God, and yield to the Spirit of God's in our lives. We have to choose. So let's look at this word yield for a minute. Everybody familiar with what that is? Anybody not know what that is? All right, good. So somebody tell me, if you come to an intersection and you see this sign, what do you do? Speed up. Yeah, perfect. Yeah, that's right, speed up. Anybody want to give the proper, you know, There'll be a test at the end, so in case the DMV is here to double-check your license standing. So somebody tell me, what do you do when you come to the intersection? Let them go before you. So you yield to oncoming traffic. So they just put the word yield up there for us. But that's what you do. And so when you yield to oncoming traffic, that means if you get up there and you see somebody's coming and they're close enough that you could cause a problem, you wait for them and you let them go first. You yield to them. Or if you want to put it another way, you yield to their will. This other driver, his will is to drive on through on the road, and you're going to yield to him. Well, that kind of is the same thing we're talking about here. God has a plan. You know that every day God has plans for us. The old man has some ideas for our lives, but the Spirit of God has much better ideas for us. Every minute of every day, he has ideas for us. And we can choose to listen to the old man or yield to the Spirit of God, yield to God's will. Because as we heard last week, God's will for us doesn't just include 5-10 years from now, it includes 10 minutes from now, 10 seconds from now. His Spirit speaks with us on a constant basis. So as the Spirit of God speaks to our hearts, we simply yield to Him, yield to His will, allow Him to come through and bring us along for the ride with Him. Because if you listen to the old man, sometimes that doesn't turn out very well for us, does it? Jason?
Okay, well, when I was about 16 or 17, I hung out with the old man a lot. I'm sure there's a young man in this crowd that could tell you some things about my past that caused a lot of shame in telling you this. Well, there was one particular evening, I was cruising around in my dad's new truck, and I was drinking with some friends, and we were cruising around town, and we decided to go into Taco Bell, and we stopped there, and somewhere in the course of that evening, I got in an altercation with a young woman there, and she slammed this rock on my dad's hood of his truck that was fairly new to him.
Yeah.
So as you can imagine, being really smart at that time, I decided to drop my friends off, and I believe they were trying to stop me from this plan. I put in a lemon drop, and I'm going to go report the incident at the police station, right? I mean, isn't that what you do when you've been drinking and you're 16? So I did this, and I remember that I think the detective somehow, Mitch, can you come get your son? We can't really press charges because he drove himself here, and he doesn't have any alcohol with him, so can you just come get him? And it was around 1:30 or 2 in the morning, and I think his last words were, well, I'm gonna take my son now and go beat him, and I'll see you all later, as you can imagine. So it was very, it was not a very good moment for me. I allowed the old man to use me. I allowed to serve. I was serving sin. I was a slave to sin. I was letting it be my master. Now, sure, at that time, if you would have asked me, do you believe Jesus is your Savior? Oh, yeah, I would have said it at that time. And that's what's important to remember here, too, is that Paul is talking to believers in the last half of Romans 6. I know we use verse 23 a lot in saying, oh, the wages of sin is death. And, you know, that's actually, he's talking to us. But what benefit did I reap? I mean, this story I'm telling you now, I mean, it's kind of shameful. The things that are now, you're now ashamed of, and the result is death. Please don't misunderstand that the death here we're talking about is not a physical death. Paul is talking about separation from God. He's talking about suffering and pain and living a life that is not fulfilled. That's what Paul's talking about. I have a lot of shame in telling you all that story I just told. I have a lot of, I had to explain this to my daughter last night. She's 7. How do you explain a story like that to a 7-year-old? But I definitely earned it. I earned my shame. The death, the separation and suffering I caused my poor dad at 1:30 in the morning. The suffering I caused this young woman. I'm typically, try to be, a pretty respectable guy, especially to women. And I can't say that what I did that night, I really don't even remember what I told her. And the suffering that poor truck went through with the rock, I mean, that's not fair. So I had two different decisions to make. If I would have obeyed and yielded to the Spirit of God that night, I'm very, very certain the evening would have turned out very, very different. And I find that when I'm hanging out with the old man, you know, if I go out and have another beer, if I tell this woman off, I'm sure I'll be more manly. If I'll fix this, I'll go to the police station. You notice how selfish that sounds. There's a lot of I's in there. You know, we can live our life for I, and that's not very Christ-centered. And that's kind of what the old man wants. When you're a slave to sin, you're serving yourself. It's a very selfish endeavor. But when you're yielding the Spirit of God, it is all about living for Christ. It's all about making it about Him and His will, yielding to God's will. I find that the older I get, the less and less I yield to the old man and serve sin, the more fulfilled my life is. I see more life and less death. And I think that is very much what Paul is talking about here. Jesus, He died to set us all free from the penalty of sin. But He also died to set us free from the power of sin and the power that it can have over your life.
So Jason made a choice that night. And the nation of Israel was presented a choice in our story from the Word this morning. And we're presented with a choice this morning. Verse 19 says, "Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness." So that is a choice to offer yourself. It's not a forced thing. It's not something that is required. It's us choosing to offer ourselves as slaves to righteousness, choosing to yield to the Spirit of God out of our own free will. And then he follows it up with verse 20 and 21. He said, "When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. When you were a slave to sin, sin was your master. The old man was your master." And he said, "What benefit did you reap from that?" You know, Jason told us about the benefits he reaped from that night, that the old man, I'm sure, was telling him it was going to be fun. But what benefit did you reap at that time from the things you're now ashamed of? Those things result in death. It's almost like Paul and another modern-day famous theologian that we know of, Dr. Phil, had the same thing to say. How's it working for you? I mean, you know, it kind of seems flippant for us to say it that way, but really, that's kind of a valid question. That's kind of what Paul is asking here. What benefit did you reap? How's it working for you? You know, you're choosing to follow the old man. You're choosing to submit to him. How's it working out for you? Is that a good thing? Is your life roses? Again, don't hear what we're not saying. If you choose to be a slave to righteousness and follow the Spirit of God, that doesn't mean that life's going to be perfect and you're never going to have trouble, or even that we're never going to sin again. We'll talk about that more as we go through the book of Romans, but for now, it's enough for us to know that we can live a life victorious over sin if we yield. Verse 22, "But now that you've been set free from sin," know it, know that you've been set free and become slaves of God out of our own free will, offer yourselves as slaves, "the benefit you reap leads to holiness." And the word holiness just means set apart for God's service. Set apart, used to be used for Him. In the Holy of Holies in the temple of Israel, the central portion there were articles of worship, bowls for incense and cups and the different articles that the priest would use for worship. And those things were set apart for use by God. They weren't used for anything else. The priest was responsible to keep them clean and ready to go for worship. And so we can be an instrument of worship, an instrument of God's righteousness. Holiness, that's what that means, set apart for God. And the result of this holiness is eternal life. And that eternal life is now. It's in the present. It's not just in the sweet by and by when we get to heaven. That is life now, that gift. For, again, he's talking to believers, the wages of sin is death, that separation from God, following the old man. That's what it gets you. That's what you earn. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, there's a difference between a wage and a gift. I think we can understand that. A wage is something that we earn. We do it by a certain behavior. When you do your job at work, you earn that paycheck. That's what you do. But a gift, this gift spoken of here, is a natural outcome of a choice that we make. It's a natural outcome of us choosing to yield to the Spirit of God as He speaks to us. It's not earned. Its benefit is holiness, and the result of that holiness is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Say there were two paths, and there are no signs, as you can see in this picture here. There's no signage of any way that tells us where each of these paths lead. But say there in the center where those two paths split, say there was a guide that we knew and we trusted. We knew the guide, and we knew he was not a guy that's going to pull a fast one on us or try to trick us. So we trust this guy. He's honorable. He's a friend. And he says, you know, this path to the left here, it leads to a beautiful park with a lake and a gazebo and maybe some picnic tables, maybe a playground for the kids, maybe even some restrooms there if you need. So the path to the left leads to this wonderful place. And so suppose he told us the path that goes to the right, that leads to this desolate, rocky pit full of poisonous snakes. Okay? So since we've said we trust this guide and we know him and he's not pulling a fast one on us, I think unless you're a herpetologist and collecting venom for your work, you probably head to the left with your little kids in tow to go to the park and play and have a good time. I mean, kind of a no-brainer, right? Well, in so many words, Paul is giving us the outcome of the two choices here in Romans chapter 6. He said, you can choose to follow the old man if you want, but that's going to lead to death and separation from God. You can choose to yield to the Spirit of God, and that brings holiness and eternal life. Seems like a no-brainer, right? Every minute of every day, the Spirit of God will suggest new ideas to us. All the time. Sometimes we have so much stuff and so much busyness that we can't hear the Spirit of God. But every minute of every day, the Spirit of God will suggest new ideas to you. And so, for us, it's as simple as just say yes. Just like last time we talked about just saying no to the old man, to the Spirit of God, just say yes. Again, now you've been set free from sin and become slaves of God. The benefit that you reap leads to holiness, and that result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So, it's your choice. It's our choice. We should choose wisely. Know it, count on it, and yield to the Spirit of God. You got to serve somebody, right? And, you know, by the way, even not choosing is choosing. So let's make a conscious choice to serve the Spirit of God. Amen? Let's pray. Would you stand with me? Father, thank you so much for your word and its power and its clarity. We pray this morning that as we've gathered around your word that it has sunk deep in our hearts. And we understand, we know, we can know that Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. And we're not only free from the penalty of sin, but we're free from the power of sin. We don't have to listen to the old man anymore. We can choose to yield to the Spirit of God. Father, it's up to us. As we go through this day, as we go through this week, as we go through our lives, keep that before us. Choose to yield to the Spirit of God. Father, we love you and we thank you for what you're doing in our life and in the midst of our church. Thank you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And our tradition each time is ready?
Ready.
Amen. God bless you.